All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to thank you for coming and waiting here at the Freeport Church at the downtown bus stop. Much appreciated y'all being so kindly here to hear me all day. I just want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you looked out to the ocean at the cruise port, and you looked out and see a ship going to sea. And as the ship went to sea, you saw several people jumping off the back of the ship and swimming out to a lifeboat, and you would look at them like they were mad, like these people are crazy. What's with these people jumping off a perfectly good ship? But then you look and you see that the ship hits a reef, begins to take on water and sink. And you realize that these people weren't fools at all. They just knew something that the others on the ship did not know. Today we're going to look at a little bit from the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to talk about how some people that are called Christians look like a fool because they're grasping onto a lifeboat for eternity while others see no danger. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about that. Hebrews chapter 4. Wherefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any should seem to have failed to reach it. God's talking about his rest, and that we should fear that there may be some that will not enter into God's rest. Word of the Lord says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. For good news shall come to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. You see, many of you have heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ from your youth. Many of you know this message and you've heard me day after day. And from your youth, you've heard of the message of repentance. For the Word of God says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. It says that those that hold the truth in unrighteousness, many of you know the truth, but are not willing to repent of your sin and trust in the Savior. For we who have believed enter that rest, he said. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is the words of the Lord. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since there, if it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter in because of obedience. Some of you will enter into the rest of God. No doubt there are believers within the sound of my voice that will enter God's rest. But there's others of you that have heard the truth and will hear the truth one more time today, but will reject it, and on the day of judgment will stand before God guilty and condemned. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying to David, who long afterwards in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts. That is one thing I'm asking of you today, as you hear my voice, as you're standing here, harden not your hearts. Do not stand before God and hear his words with a hard heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath day for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from us. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So each one of you needs to strive to enter the rest of God. You need to strive to understand, to see your sin, to be willing to turn from sin to God. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, or whom we have to give account. Now it's talking about a future rest. What is that future rest that we're talking about when we read this fourth chapter of Hebrews? Rest from what? Is God offering you a rest from your financial worries about worrying about money? What about worries about your job? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross to solve the problems with you getting a job? What about your family? Did Jesus die on the cross to solve the problems with you getting along with the rest of your family? Or even with your health? Is that what the rest that's been talking about here in Hebrews? No, sir, it is not. We're talking about rest from sin and from the consequences and the condemnation of sin. It says in the 11th chapter of Matthew in the Word of God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is talking about rest from sin. Sin, by its definition, the Bible defines sin. The book of 1 John says sin is transgression of God's law. Sin is breaking of the Ten Commandments. We open up the commandments. We see here God has given us 10 commandments to live by. Here in the Bahamas, we have thousands of laws, but God has given us 10, and have you kept them? You shall have no other God before me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Have you kept that law? You shall not make a graven image. You shall not make a statue or even a concept or idea of God in your own mind that's not consistent with Scripture and a God that's okay with your sin. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If you use the name of the Lord your God in vain as a cuss word, you say, oh my, and you put in the name of God. Or use the name of Jesus as a cuss word, he said he will not hold you blameless if you use his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. To honor your father and mother. Obey them and honor your parents. And each of you, from your youth, honor your parents. Obey them every time, the first time from your youth. Who can say they've done this? You shall not kill. Well, the scriptures tell us in the words of Jesus Christ that if you hate somebody or call them a fool or an idiot, that you're guilty of murder in the heart. Because it is the thoughts and the intents of the heart, this is where murder comes from. You shall not commit adultery. Gentlemen, how many of you can say you've not looked at a woman with lust? Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Now many of you will look at me and laugh, but this should strike guilt and fear in your heart that you have offended a holy and just God, and you will answer for it. You shall not steal. If you steal something, you're a thief. Even if it was a long time ago, or even if it was a small item. I could steal a penny or $100 and I would still be a thief. You shall not bear false witness or tell a lie. And you shall not covet, as jealously desire something that belongs to somebody else. Lying lips, the scriptures say, are an abomination to the Lord. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. There's no thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator, no drunkard will enter the kingdom of God. Are you innocent of these? That's right, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you innocent of these charges? Have you ever lied, stolen? Have you ever looked with lust or hated somebody? Have you always loved God more than anything? Honored his Sabbath day? Honored your father and mother? Never use the name of the Lord thy God in vain, or or made up your own idea of who God is. If you can say that, then you're the perfect man. But God says then that you do not exist. He says, for all things, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. It says that God looked down on the children of men to see if there was any that doeth good, and there was none that doeth good. No, not one. They've altogether gone out of the way and altogether become unprofitable. So this is God talking about you and talking about me. And one day it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. God will judge you. God will judge you by how you've lived your life. You will give an answer. God says he's appointed a day he will judge the world in righteousness. And we just looked at God's standard of righteousness, the Ten Commandments. We look at what are the... If God will judge you, God has given us the standard. And if that's the end of the message, we should see nothing but death and hell in front of us if that was the end of the message. But it's not. Thankfully, it is not. But many of you will not heed the rest of this message. You will see your sin. You will see that you're a sinner before God, but you'll refuse the rest of this message. Because you're too proud of heart, because you love your sin, you love living in unrighteousness and rebellion before God. Is by your nature, you're a hater of God. This is your nature. This is how you were created. But God did something amazing, that because while you were an enemy of God, Christ died for us. Christ sent his Son, Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life on this earth, to suffer and die on a cross of Calvary as payment for sin, sins that you and I have committed. And though you are guilty before God, just like I am, and you're deserving of hell, God sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, so that if you will repent, turn from your sin, and trust in the Savior, you can be given eternal life. And not because God can let you off with your sin. If a judge in the Bahamas saw a criminal stand before him with evidence of his guilt, and if the judge let the criminal go, he would be an unjust judge. We would read his name in the newspaper with calls to throw him off the bench. God, he says, I will by no means clear the guilty. Because you are guilty before God, God said he will by no means clear the guilty. He will by no means let men go that have sinned before him, just because they come before him and say, forgive me. You need someone to pay your fine. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay for your sin. He died on the cross, shed his blood, pay for your sin, so that if you will turn from your sin and trust in the Savior, his blood is payment for your sin, the judge, Jesus Christ himself. Excuse me, sir, can you leave the woman alone? The judge is Jesus Christ himself, and will accept his own blood as payment for your sin. But he demands that you repent of your sin, that's turning away from your sin, and trust in only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Blessed is the man. Book of Romans says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Who is that man? If you will repent of sin and trust in the Savior, that man can be you. But if you refuse this invitation for salvation, if you refuse to turn from your sin, repent of sin and trust in the Savior. Sir, do you despise the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you stand here to, carrying on these antics while I'm preaching the gospel? What is going to happen to you when you stand before God and you have to give answer? What was that? I'm preaching right here. I think you can hear me. So what's going to happen to you, sir, when you die and stand before God? Will you be found innocent or guilty? What will happen on that day? You say, many here despise and mock the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they will not mock on the day of judgment when they stand before God to give answer. They will not mock on that day. Right? And I come before you to talk to you here, not because I'm a man that's any better than any of you. I'm not. I've broken all the commandments. I'm guilty before God just like you are. If you've lied or stolen, if you've looked with lust, right? If you've hated somebody or called them a fool, you're guilty of murder in the heart. It's the same as me. But I'm better off, I believe, that with the way you're acting, I'm better off than you. Because God has given me a repentant heart to turn from my sin and trust in the Savior. What about you? What will you answer on that day?
Run on. Stupid. Well,
you have to go because it's uncomfortable to hear about sin on the day of judgment. Is that right? Because it's uncomfortable for you to hear about sin and the day of judgment. Am I right? You see, what do you know? See, you know as well as I do that you, just like the rest of us, have broken the commandments, right? So when you stand before God, when you stand before God as a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer, and murderer at heart, what are you going to say to him? When he says, away from me, you worker of iniquity, I've ever known you. He casts you into the utter darkness, the flames of hell, with his weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire burneth and the worm dieth not. Consider my words. You may think of a fool standing here, but on that day when you stand before God, what will you say? Consider those words.
He like you. He's happy that he like you, Father.
I thank you very much for listening to me. Today I've got some gospel tracts. It says, are you good enough to go to heaven? If you do not know for sure that you've been born again, if you do not know for sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven, or if you'd like to learn more about what I'm saying to you, please humble yourself, come forward, and get one of these tracts. Before I leave you, I want to tell you a couple things. Here in the Bahamas. Here in the Bahamas, I was given a piece of paper from a church in the Bahamas that said among the benefits of being a Christian was that I would be healed of all my diseases, I would be prosperous in my finances, I would have authority over all the devil and his demons. But does the Bible say that? The Bible says that the advantages of being a Christian, that you get to die to yourself, take up your cross, follow him, that you'll be hated of all men because he hated me first. But it says also the benefits of being a Christian, that blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Are your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Or will you stand alone and guilty before God on the day of judgment? Thank you very much for listening to me. Come forward and get one of these tracts. I'll be here for a few minutes to talk to people who'd like to talk. Thank you very much for listening.
Hey. What's this guy here at the top?
No.